Morning. How was your week? Hey, good. Conversational preaching. I like this. We have a few concerns again in our body. We have concerns outside this body, friends, family, relationships that we have. So we want to spend some time in prayer. And so if you would, let's go to God in prayer right now. Father, we thank you that we can worship here openly this morning. God, we give you glory right away with our hands, with our lips, with our voices. We lift you up. We exalt you here in this place. Some of us have come here this week, Lord, lacking peace because we struggle. We think about those who are in need. And there are so many of them, Lord. And Father, you've seen them all. They're listed in our bulletin. Father, there's cousins, there's uncles, there's parents. All sorts of people who have health concerns. And this morning, Father, I'm going to allow our congregation, just in our hearts, to lift them up to you because I know, Lord, that there are more requests than are reflected on this piece of paper in the bulletin this morning. So, Lord, we ask you, we plead with you this morning, right here in this holy place, that you would move on behalf of these people. Father, particularly those who are suffering, who do not know you, who do not have a hope that you may come and touch them, or a hope that they'll be with you in glory. Lord, would you come and meet with them and reveal yourself to them? Father, we even think of Muriel. I want to list her because she's a part of our congregation right here, and she's even had some concerns this week, some health needs. And I know that there's other people here who have health needs. And so, Father, we lift her up and those others in our congregation. Father, we thank you for our leader and our pastor, Devin, who happens not to be here this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would use and refresh him as he does his ministry by meeting down in the south. So, Father, this morning as we come to your word, we need you to illuminate it. We need you to stir our hearts and move us to action. And so, God, we invite you to come into our midst. You're here already, but come even deeper, come even closer to our hearts and touch us in a profound way. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Having a little bit of difficulty with peace since I went to the hairdresser and they did a number on my hair a little bit beyond which I expected. I've been equated to sheepdogs. I was going to put a picture up there for you, but I thought that would just be too disturbing. Perhaps I lack peace because Devin's in Florida this morning and I'm here. Well, it feels a little Florida-ish, but no. This morning, how many of you want to get a piece of peace? P-I-E-C-E of P-E-A-C-E. I will only do that once. That was a freebie. Who wants a piece of peace this morning? Okay, good. You're going to have to put on your jogging shorts. We're going for a ride this morning. Let me tell you a story. I'm going to squish it down, though. There was a painting contest, okay? An artist. He wanted the best picture of peace that could possibly be painted onto paper, just to use another P. All right. And so they start revealing all of these paintings that have come from far and wide. And of course, they've got sheep on the hills, you know, pastors laying on the beach in Florida, all sorts of things like this. And these are typical things of peace, right? Sheep in the pasture. And they're just undisturbed birds flying by. And they got to the last one. And the guy who had started this contest, he revealed it. And the crowd kind of gasped because this is how it was described. It says it was a tumultuous, I never use that word other than today, a tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. Okay, the crowd could almost feel its cold penetrating spray misting on their faces. Storm gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, rain, and in the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a spindly little tree clung to a rock very, very dangerously close to the edge of that precipice. And there was a little crux there. And in that crux, in that little branch, a bird had made its nest. And the painter, the artist, had painted this bird with her eyes closed and her arms around her little chicks. And there wasn't a care in the world because she had her family with her. This bird, for this painter, symbolized the ultimate peace. Okay? How many of you recall the story of Jesus when he was out in the boat with his disciples in the middle of the storm? You remember that story? Matthew chapter 8. Okay, so he goes out, they're in the middle of the lake, they're on a boat, and suddenly this massive storm comes up. The winds are howling, the waves are literally crashing over the edge of the boat, and the disciples are completely gripped with fear. Okay? And I understand why, is because they had no control over the situation. They had no control over the outcome, what would happen there. Sure enough, where do you find Jesus? Do you remember? He's sleeping. Okay, it had to be some kind of a boat whereby he could sleep and not get doused with water. But nonetheless, I don't know about you, but I can't sleep in the middle of a storm. It would require a certain type of inner peace and the ability to sleep through all sorts of crazy things. Okay, but nonetheless, Jesus was able to have peace in that moment. Okay, we speak in terms of a sense of something or other, okay? Have you ever noticed this? We talk of, yeah, we have a real good sense of community at First Baptist Church. You ever heard that phrase? Right, but I submit to you that a sense of community is not actually community, all right? You can have a sense of it. You can have a barbecue or a function and kind of experience it a little bit, but true community goes way beyond that, okay? Now, we speak in terms of a sense of peace, okay? Oh, I've just got a sense of peace about something this morning. I'm going to tell you that's not the same as having true inner peace. That's not the same as living and walking in peace. True inner peace has to do with the real surrender to God. It has to do with the ability to rest in the fact that God has absolutely everything under control. Amen. John chapter 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." God is the one who gives us peace. Okay, so often we actually become afraid of listening to the Word of God and what it says. Okay, are you going to be man or woman enough today to stand up and admit that? Okay, because the Word of God calls us to do what? It calls us to abandon ourselves. It calls us to lay down our lives. It calls us to give control to God. These are things that we do not like because it wrecks our sense of peace because I got to control it. But worldly peace is not the same peace that Jesus had in that boat on that day. God had given him an inner peace. He was tuned into God. Psalm 29:11 proves to us that peace comes from God. It says, "The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people, and he will give them peace." Even in Jesus Christ, we know one of his names was the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6-7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And then verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end." Jesus is our model for peace. So, how do we make this really practical? I thought that there would be three pieces to this peace pie, to use another P. And I found a quote. Actually, Kate was looking for some peace quotes for the bulletin, and she handed me Oswald Chambers. Is that it? That's his name, right? Oswald Chambers. She handed me his devotional and said, "Hey, check this out. I love when people do that." And I found a quote in there from Charles Wesley. It says, "I rest beneath the Almighty shade. My griefs expire. My troubles cease. Thou, Lord, on whom my soul is stayed, will keep me in perfect peace." And somewhere within there, there's three pieces of the peace pie. Okay, so number one, piece number one, ask yourself this question. Am I giving God's word priority in my life? Okay, ask yourself that question. Am I giving God's word priority in my life? Okay, here's a story for you. There's a candidate. He was looking for church membership. And the elders are interviewing him, and they say, "What do you like best about the Bible?" He says, "I like the New Testament best." And he says, "What book in the New Testament is your favorite?" He says, "The book of parables, sir." Okay, you got to keep up with this. Then they asked him to relate one of the parables to the membership committee, and a little bit uncertain, he began like this. He says, "Once upon a time, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. The thorns grew up and choked the man. Then he went to meet the queen of Sheba, and she gave that man, sir, 10,000 talents of silver and 100 changes of raiment. He got his chariot going. He drove furiously. He was driving along under a big tree, and his hair got caught in a limb. And they left him hanging there, and then he hung for many days when ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. And one night while he was hanging there, his wife Delilah came and cut off his hair, and he fell on stony ground, and blah, 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 blah." And you get the picture. And then the punchline comes, and the membership agreed that indeed this was a very knowledgeable biblical candidate. Okay. Now, if you didn't follow that, that was about a dozen Old Testament stories all mixed together, and this guy thought it was the New Testament. He was a little bit confused. But are you giving God's word priority in your life? Because the word of God is like fire. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14 says, "Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. Because the people have spoken these words, I will make my words in your mouth a fire, and these people the wood it consumes." The word of God is not a toy. The word of God is not designed to be a paperweight or a collector, okay? It is not the Swiffer wet jet. It is not meant to collect dust, okay? The word of God is a fire. Jeremiah 5 says this. Okay, but it is also described as a sword, okay? And we're going to go through some descriptors here of what the word is. The word of God, the Bible, is a sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And just follow along on the PowerPoint because we're cruising way too fast to flip right now. Okay, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." It's like this pastor. I believe a cartoon's going to come up here. It's like this pastor who was going through the airport. Just read it here. "Well, this book isn't even as sharp as a one-edged sword." You must have forgotten to say figuratively speaking. The word of God is like a sword. But what, okay, here's a pencil, all right? In order for this, pretend this is my sword. If this was going to jab into my heart, what would have to be there? There would have to be flesh, okay? If my heart was like a stone or like a rock, that sword would just hit it and kind of chink off, right? So there has to be flesh within our heart. I ask you this morning, is your heart able to be penetrated by a sword? If God's word is coming to us this morning through this message, through the music, through all sorts of different things, is your heart flesh enough that that sword can come in and actually enter your life? Or does your heart have to become broken? Does it need to be smashed? Get this, I've never seen this before. The word of God, the Bible, is like a hammer. Like a hammer. Jeremiah 23:29, he reminds us of the last passage. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces. Sometimes God's word has to come like a hammer and break our hearts, to break us so that we can be reshaped, so that God can water that stone, that clay, and give it life again, so that he can make us into who he wants us to be. Sometimes we have to be broken. When was the last time you felt a brokenness before God where you just abandoned yourself to him? In fact, when was the last time your faith or your worship or the church, from a fellowship perspective, how many times have those things literally moved you to tears where God just impressed you so much by his glory that you became broken? The word of God is like a hammer. The word of God is a seed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." That seed in your heart needs to grow. You need to water it regularly. You need to have that happen. Here's an example of somebody who didn't, okay? There's a new minister. He was asked to come and teach a boys' Sunday school class. And so when he got there, he wanted to discover kind of what these kids knew about the word of God. So he asked this question. He says, "Who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" Okay? Anybody know the answer? One, two. Okay, good. All right. "Who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" All the boys denied having done it. Okay? The preacher was appalled by their ignorance. The next deacon's meeting, he told about the experience. He says, "None of them know even this basic thing. Who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" Okay, the group was silent until finally one seasoned veteran of the deacons, he spoke up and he says this. He says, "Preacher, this appears to be bothering you a lot, but I've known these boys all my life, and they're good boys. They're good kids. So if you don't mind, let's just take some money out of the repair and maintenance fund and fix the walls, and let's get on with it." The idea is that the word of God is like a seed that gets planted in our heart, but if we do nothing with it, it will wither, it will dry. Our hearts will become hard, and we need to have that watering of God in there. The word of God is for food and for nourishment for your souls. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "Like newborn babies crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Crave spiritual milk, okay? If you're just starting out this morning in this journey in the word, in your faith, in Christianity, whatever, however you're coming here this morning, enjoy that milk. Enjoy it for a time, but don't get stuck there. Realize that one day you need to get beyond that. You really do. And you need to start looking for spiritual meat. And yes, that's another point. Hebrews chapter 5, the Word of God is like meat unto our souls, nourishing food. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. No, this isn't the pattern for our living. This is a rebuke that he's bringing against the people. He's saying you needed to get past that milk and get onto the meat. You need to use the Word in your life. And so verse 13 says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, underline, highlight that in your Bible, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Okay? This is speaking of a constant use, a regular reading of the Scriptures. Basic stuff. There's an elderly woman one day who waited. I've never seen this before. She waited after the service to talk to the preacher. And she wanted to tell him how much she loved how he brought light to the Scriptures and how he illuminated things. And she gets up to the pastor and says, oh, good morning, pastor. All right, Devin does that voice better than me. I'll stop. She says, thank you so much for what you bring to these Scriptures and how they light up and I understand them. And she says, for all my life, I never realized that Sodom and Gomorrah weren't husband and wife. It's the idea of regularly getting to know the Word of God. Have I made my point clear? His point clear? Amen. Isn't it amazing that we really expect to have peace without really, really digging in and getting to know the Prince of Peace? Piece number two. Ask yourself this question. It's on the same line. Is the Word of God beginning to affect my life? Is the Word of God beginning to affect my life? Okay, if you're working on number one, just getting into a regular reading of the Word of God, that's fine. Don't get discouraged. So often I'm like, okay, I got to have a regular reading. I'm going to read every day, and then I miss Wednesday, and then I get to youth on Friday, and I forget Friday, and then I get discouraged, so by Saturday I quit, and then by Monday I'm so discouraged I just let it collect dust again until the following week where I pick it up. You ever have that pattern in your life? Don't get so discouraged on number one, okay? Because I believe that God looks not at how many hours you sit down and read, but I believe that he looks at what you're doing with that Word in your life. Okay, so homework from number one, if you do it, it will bring you some peace, okay? It will fill your mind. In a time where there's a struggle or an attack or a trial, that Word of God will all suddenly be there and it will help you walk through that trial and you will have greater peace. The book of Isaiah 26, verse 3 says this, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It's this idea of reading the Word, cultivating that into your whole life, and then living it out and actually thinking about God. You need to let it affect your life, so dust off that book. Okay? If need be, move it from the shelf and put it next to your bed or somewhere else. Very practical stuff here this morning, folks. Okay? Dust it off, put it next to your bed so that when you wake up, you see it. And when you go to sleep, you see it. If for nothing else, so that it will nag you and you'll open it up because it's so valuable. Carve out time. Systematically begin to cultivate this into your life, okay? You got to realize that reading of Scripture and applying it to your life is a learned behavior. It doesn't come naturally. It's something you need to cultivate in your life and make it a part of your lifestyle. So how do you do that, okay? For me, here, let me tell you a little story. I got a new Bible, all right? Now, this Bible has no cross-references in it. It has no concordance. It doesn't have an interlinear Greek New Testament, commentary, concordance, anything like that, okay? What kind of a pastor am I? I'm supposed to have those things in it, all right? But what does this Bible have, and why did I pick it up? And why has it blessed me so incredibly much in the last 3 weeks that I've had it? And it's so simple. It has margins, okay? This morning's going to be very practical. I'm warning you. It has margins. And why did I want margins? So I can write. So I can read it one day, and then as the still small voice of God whispers in my ear and something jumps out at me, I write it down and I have a remembrance of it. And then as my week goes by, I can look back at that and see what God was teaching me and see how I did. This has been fabulous for me because I could write in it. And the other thing that it has is so cool, and it's a used Bible, and go figure, I work with youth. It has at the beginning of every chapter, it has an estimated amount of time that it's going to take to read that chapter. Okay, because I say, God, sorry, I don't have time. Even though I played an hour of PS2 games and 3 hours in my garden, there's 4 hours. I simply don't have time. But then I open it up and I see, like, Philippians chapter 4. It takes 3 minutes to read. And I've got margins I can write in. So this has encouraged me a lot. Okay? And so, I'm going to encourage you right now, take out your Bible. Anybody got a Bible? Use a pew Bible if you need to. Okay? If you can. Everybody have a Bible in hand. Sword drill. Hold it up high. Okay. This isn't going to be a sword drill. What I'm going to do is take 3 minutes of your time. 3 minutes of my time. Okay? This is strange. Preachers don't give up a minute of their time, but I'm going to ask for three. Okay? Everybody, open your book. Open the Bible. If somebody's struggling next to you to find it, help them out. Philippians chapter 4. Let's go there. Philippians chapter 4. Okay? Now, for those of you who have pew Bibles, I asked the elders. They said, no, you cannot write in them. I'm just kidding. I didn't ask them. If you have a Bible of your own, this exercise is going to be reading Philippians chapter 4 because it talks about peace. It talks about a number of things. Okay? So what I'm going to ask you to do, it's going to be 3 minutes of silence. All right? And this is very practical. And why am I doing this? So that if sometime in this week coming up, all of a sudden, something happens and Philippians 4 comes to your mind, then this has been worth the 3 minutes here. Okay? Because this is what the Christian life is all about. Walking with peace and walking with the Lord and His Word. So take 3 minutes and read Philippians chapter 4. If you can, write it in your Bibles or on an envelope or something. Something that just jumps out at you. Something that impresses you or something that really challenges you. Write it down. Take a note of it. Okay? And then we're going to talk a little bit about that in about 3 minutes. Okay? Go for it. Philippians chapter 4. It's looking like most of you have finished up. Philippians chapter 4. Thank you for taking that time to read it. Okay? Now, how many of you actually jotted down some notes? Something popped into your mind. You said, wow, that's something I hadn't seen before. Anybody? Okay? All right. So for me, I highlighted right away something right in verse 1. I saw this little phrase there. It said, stay true to the Lord. It says, stay true to the Lord. I asked myself, am I staying true to God or am I putting on a show? That was a question I had to ask myself. Okay? I then asked myself the question, how can I stay true to God in the midst of all sorts of trials and troubles? How do I have that peace? The next question was, is there any area of my life where I'm not staying true to God and that I need to make some changes? And I actually thought about that for a bit and I realized I was pretty moody. I realized that day I was really getting tired. I was really getting grumpy. And I thought, I better stay true to God in my emotions and with keeping my anger in check. All right? And later on in the week, I didn't do so good at that. But what happened? Philippians 4 came back to mind. And after I got all frustrated, I thought, oh yeah, stay true to God, buddy. Stay true to God. Okay? Just simple observations. Then I got to verse 6, and it said, do not worry about anything. What? I wrote in my margin, what? Exclamation, exclamation, question mark, exclamation. And then I put after that, nothing, exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. I can't worry about anything. And then the next thing I wrote down was, God did not design me to worry. God did not design me to worry. I wrote this right down in my margin. And then I drew a line between the word anything and everything, okay? Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, make your request known to God. I actually scribbled all this in my Bible, okay? And then I saw this, the idea that I had to tell God my needs, and then I had to thank Him for what He was going to do. And I realized I needed to cultivate thankfulness into my life daily, okay? And then the Scripture said this to me in verse 7. It says, if you do this, this is the New Living Translation that I found this in, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than human mind can understand. His peace will guide your hearts as you live in Christ Jesus. Okay? You have to admit, those kind of little tidbits from the Word of God will help to give you peace. So why bother go through all this? I'm a reasonably good person. My thought patterns aren't that skewed. I should be able to get through life without this. But sin will rob you of your peace. How many of you have ever, okay, here's asking for vulnerability. How many of you have ever actually been in a sin situation? You've been living in a sin moment, and you were actually hanging on to it for a minute. And then you realize that you had no peace whatsoever. I've been there. You agree? Sin will rob you of your peace. Okay, the challenge for you, the reason I'm challenging you to look at the role of scriptures in your life so much that I would even donate 3 minutes of the sermon time to that kind of an exercise, is so that the word of God will help you get through those stumbling blocks, so that when peace is trying to be stolen away by the enemy, that the word will stand there and give you peace, because you will have hope in him. But it even goes further than this. Is the word priority in your life? Is the word beginning to affect your life? If so, ask yourself this question. Piece number three. What will you do with what you've been through? Okay? What will you do with what you've been through? I admit, I took that quote from Rick Warren. We had a video clip from 100 Huntley Street on this week in our staff meeting. And I thought, wow, this is fantastic. This is exactly what we need to hear this morning. What will you do with what you've been through? Every single one of you in this room has gone through stuff. Quote unquote, stuff. And stuff hurts. And sometimes stuff stinks. And the spectrum of thoughts that are entering your minds right now as to the junk, the hurts that have happened to you in your life, the spectrum of those thoughts is massive. If we had time to tell stories here of the things that have come into our lives, we'd be shocked and appalled at what's happened through the years. But the stories in your mind are equally as prominent as the stories in other people's minds here. Memories. Okay, so this is where the message gets tough, because in these next 5 minutes, all sorts of memories that sometimes haunt you will come to your mind. But you need to ask yourself the question right now, are you going to allow those memories, as we talk about them, are you going to allow them to rob you of your peace? Or are you going to submit right now to allowing God's peace and his word to guard your hearts? Okay, so let's be very careful here. Perhaps you can recall battling alcoholism at some point in your life, or perhaps a parent who is involved in that, and many hurts come to your mind. Perhaps physical violence from a parent that still sends chills up your spine to this day. Perhaps you remember those things. Perhaps somebody angered you to the point where you could honestly have just lashed out in a fit of rage, and that kind of emotion, that heightened level of rage, just chills you. Perhaps you can remember things like that. Perhaps you were sexually abused as a child, and you've hidden it ever since. Perhaps you were bilked out of funds by a dishonest man, or simply perhaps you've told a lie recently and it's just gnawing at your soul, because sin will rob you of your peace. Okay, all these memories come to mind. Okay, I want you to know that you suffered, and it likely doesn't seem fair to you that you've done so. But I want you to know that our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, suffered as well. He suffered as well. He suffered in a big way. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. They're somewhat familiar for many of us. I'll read them with you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Word says to us, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, okay, I mean, you got to ask yourself the question anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, why is therefore there? Okay, why, wherefore? Yeah, why is that word there? All right, why is this found there? It's because he suffered, he was obedient, he was faithful to the Father, that he was exalted. So verse 9 says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. And he gave him the name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in heaven and earth and under earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. God is no stranger to suffering, and neither are we. And so we can relate to one another. We can relate to God, and God can relate to us. We need to begin to deal with some of those deepest hurts from our past. Okay, the past hurts left undealt with will not contribute to growing peace in your life. Okay, we don't want to walk through some of the hurts from our past. We want to leave them alone. Don't stir them up. Don't shake them up. I don't even want to remember them. But if we never deal with them, if we never turn them around and begin to praise God for where he's brought you. Those things will rob you of your peace every day. You wanted me to preach on peace. And so I'm sorry that this is a little uncomfortable. But if you want to have peace, you might have to deal with some of those things. Okay? You might need to flood the offices of the counselors and the pastors in the next week. Go for it. We're ready for you. We'll be there with a listening ear. What's the best way to deal with these things? Look at the truth. Look to the source of peace. Go back to the Word of God. I've been telling you, you got to make it a priority. You got to let it affect your life so far that you will dig deep and allow it to affect even the deepest, darkest, hurting parts of your life. If you really want to have peace, if you want to seek after Him, get familiar with it. Let it affect you. Make notes. Make changes in your life. Challenge yourself. Then look at the things that have hurt you so deeply and say, has that one thing right there, that thing that hurt me, has that been hindering me from sharing my life with Jesus Christ openly with others? If that's a closed off area, it's sealed off in your life, it might be a place that you need to go to the scriptures with this week and say, God, help me to get past this. And why? Rick Warren says this. He says, God never wastes a hurt. When he said that, I thought, you going to tell me that God was the one who designed that hurt and he's going to bring it after me like he's hunting me down? And I had to think about this for a bit and I realized, no, that is not a right attitude. That's not the right thinking. Hurt comes into our lives. And God says, you know what? I can redeem this thing. I can turn it around. I can use your story to bring others to me. Isn't that something? That even in the midst of hurt, God can come. He can heal us up. He can change our lives. And he can give us peace. And then he can use us to share it with other people. So what about you? Do you think that it's impossible to work through some of this stuff and actually get to a point where you can help others? I'll give you one more scripture, friends. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. And this one's important. Again, underline it, star it, highlight it, circle it, do something if you can. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. And actually, I should say beginning in verse 3. It's praise. Okay, this is worship stuff. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Now listen to verse 4. Who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. Get yourselves in front of God. If you really want to have peace, if you want to get past those things, get yourself in front of God. Because right there, I told you to highlight it, you better do it. The scriptures tell us that he will come, he will comfort. He will bring the agent, he will be the agent of peace. He will bring that to your life. And then he will enable you to go out and share that story with others and maybe help them get through. God will answer your prayers. He will see your cries for help. He will walk you through. Peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble. Do not get me wrong. You will have trouble in this world. Christ said that himself. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but it is rather the confidence that he is always there with you in the midst of that trouble. Amen? So do you want a piece of peace? Anyone? All right, then you got some homework to do. Take that 3 minutes, that 6 minutes. Heaven forbid we double it to six. Take that 6 minutes, jot down some notes, even start one day a week if you need. If that's all you can do right now, do it. And write down those notes. And when something pops out at you, realize that's the Holy Spirit tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, buddy, hey, sister, look at this. I want you to see this. Are you making the Word of God priority in your life? Are you allowing the Word of God to affect your life? And thirdly, from this day on, from this moment on, what will you do with what you've been through? Okay. I'm just going to invite you now. I want to pray for you. And then as I finish praying, Chris is going to put on a song. While I was in Toronto doing the gospel music competition, I met a young lady named Amanda Falk who just touched my life. Just who she was, just her character, her personality was awesome. So I said, I got to get her CD because it's got to reflect this, eh? And I got her CD. I've never listened to a CD more in my life than this CD. I've been working. I've had it. I think I've repeated it about 100 times in the last 2 to 3 weeks. I'm serious. I'm going to play the song for you. It's called Small because it reflects all of this. is I want to be small. I want to be just like a child. I want to be held in the Father's arms. And if you want to have peace this morning, you're going to have to go to God and do some business and talk to Him. Okay, so let me pray for you. And then as that song plays through, talk to God. Ask Him for peace. Ask Him to sort out the things in your life, the hurts, the past, the present issues that you're walking through, so that nobody walks out of here unchanged this morning. Is that okay? All right, let me pray for you. You are our Lord, Father. We want You to hold us. We want to know peace in this world, Lord. I'm the first to admit, God, that it's hard sometimes to walk all the time, pointing towards You, looking at You. I look astray, and I get called back. And then I stumble, and I have to stand up. And then I get beaten down, and I have to run away sometimes from things that are chasing after me. I gotta order my life and follow after You. But it's every time that I've followed after You, Lord, that You've brought peace to my life. And so I thank You for that. And I believe the same is here for every person in this room today, Father. I ask that You would be the agent of peace, that You would come and meet, that testimonies would come out of this moment this morning of people who dealt with You, who set things right in their lives, and got on with doing what You designed them to do. God, I ask that these people, my friends here, my family in the West, Lord, that these people would begin to allow the Word of God to become priority in their lives. Lord, that You'd allow it to affect their lives, that they'd make changes and plans and systematically work it into their lives. And Lord, that You'd heal them of their hurts so that they can walk in peace with You. So God, as we all now sit and reflect in quiet, I just ask that You'd move on us, that Your Holy Spirit would speak to us, and that we'd be open to Your moving in Jesus' name. Amen.
To get away from me, I just need to find some peace of mind. Caught in this game of unmet expectations, I won't leave it all behind. I wanna be small, be just like a child. I wanna be quiet in Your arms. I wanna be small. I wanna be just like a child. I wanna be quiet in Your arms. So let the world fade away from me. Give me a moment just to see the silence. I just wanna be set free. I wanna be small. I wanna be just like a child. I wanna be quiet. Just like a child, wanna be quiet in Your arms. I wanna be small, wanna be just like a child, wanna be quiet. Just like a child.